Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Well, Coastal, you sing very well with a whole lot of turkey in you. I haven't seen you since the last time you put turkey in your mouth. Hallelujah. So, it was good. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. It was fantastic. Thumbs up everywhere. Yeah, got a belt size. Extra belt size from that event. Hallelujah. So we're going to have to work on it. Yay. Thanks for all the music. Thanks. Six bananas for me. I got this detox thing that they throw at me occasionally. Nearly killed me. Good Lord. Middle of the night. What? I'm going to die. But I still live. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to bring Danielle and Jimmy to you. They lost their mom this week. And I just wanted to lift them up in prayer. It was just absolute a sudden thing. She went to lay down in the afternoon and passed in her sleep. And so it's been a challenging week, to say the least. So, Father, we thank you for the Mason family. Just thank you for that whole situation, which requires your presence, requires your arms to be put around it, and that you would anesthetize them and just carry them through this time of loss. And we just really thank you that as they come to the memorial service and brings closure surprisingly to all their hearts, including the little children, it's their grandma, that you would just be the comforter as you just do it so well. Holy Spirit, would you do that in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So, to see who's here. Have you moved seats on me? I've got to check, because if you move seats on me, then I think you're absent. Especially Barry. Sometimes Barry sits that side, and then sometimes Barry sits that side. And if I don't meet him at the door, then I don't know if he's at church. Barry, are you in the house? Barry, you got that startled look again. I did that last time to you as well. He's going to ask me, what did you say? Because I still didn't know what I said. But anyway, hallelujah. Well, I've been on, just carry on with the word this morning. We've been talking about the year of God's fullness. And so, and obviously it's a year that's been different to many years. And but laced in it, God's fullness and God's presence has been our protection, has been our provision, has been our presence at different times and different stages. And so we've been ministering into that. And last week we had testimonies. You may well kill all this monitor sound. I've got this frown look. I always give sound guys as much grace as possible because I was a sound man forever. I'd nicknamed our pastor's wife who led worship Signs and Wonders. She'd be giving me signs up on stage, and I'd be wondering, what the heck are you saying, girl? I don't know what the heck. Nicknamed the Signs and Wonders. And last week, thank you for all the testimonies. Really, I think those testimonies are more for me than anybody else. It was really great. And it's a testifying of God's goodness and His fullness in our life. And so it was just wonderful. So today I want to finish off the series, and I'm fully persuaded. And then we're going to focus on this season, Christmas season, as we go forward. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I need to close off with this last message, I just want to do that. But we started on being fully persuaded that there is a God. Being fully persuaded is because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. So as we approach God, we must believe that he is. And so it's important that we see that. And 1 Peter 3:15 in the message, it says this, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you are living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. And when we share our faith and share our love, share in such a way that it's just advertising, they want what you have. And that'll be a great thing. Obviously, when we want to talk about that there is a God was the first point, that there is a God is first, you've got to have a biblical worldview. You've got to have the correct worldview. And the biblical worldview is the one that answers four questions. Your worldview needs to answer four questions. Firstly, origin, where did we come from? And the next one is meaning, why am I here? What's the purpose? And then morality, what is, do you understand and define good and evil, and you need to know that. And then obviously destiny. What happens when we pass and go to sleep in our earth suits? What happens? And we need to be able to answer that with our worldview and be able to speak about that. So I covered that. And I also told you, you can't be an atheist. It's impossible to be an atheist. Because the person that knows the most in the whole world, all knowledge, is less than 2%. So what happens with all the other knowledge that you don't know? You don't know that there is a God. So you can't stand on your soapbox and say, I'm an atheist. Sorry, so debunk that. And then all the other thing is, I also know him. I know that there is a God because I know him and I've known him for 43 years. So kind of that's my argument. And then the last message I spoke on being fully persuaded is that the Bible is true. The scriptures is true. The word of God is truth. And it was wonderful to be able to unpack. The Bible says so. It vouches for itself that it's true. And then it's phenomenal. God's word is absolutely phenomenal. How can anybody write over 1,500 years, 66 books with 40 authors and have the same theme, same author through different writers? Absolutely phenomenal. No other document on planet Earth can match this. And so it was wonderful. And then also, again, I know the author. I've been hanging around him for 43 years, so I know the author. So it's wonderful, the author of this scripture. So today I want to finish off with saying that I'm fully persuaded that Jesus is the only way. You're going to get yourself all tied up on that word only. And so the pre-saved have a real hang-up with us. Pre-saved, the people that are not believing yet, we just got faith confession over them. They're pre-saved. They just don't know it yet. We're getting to them. We're going to reach these people. And some Christians as well, they just say, no, we can't. But look at the red writing in my Bible says this in John 14:6. It says, Jesus says this, I am the way. Not one of the ways. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then it goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father. Now, Jesus, the one who we've put our life trust in, that he's our Savior, has said these words. And so we got to understand that God has made a way. And so we need to make sure that we understand that. Acts 4, Peter's preaching to the crowd that came out to hear them on the day of Pentecost. He's preaching to them. And then he says this in verse 4, there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter stands there and declares that, because you've got to understand that Jesus is the only way. And so many resist the saying and say it's prescriptive and it's exclusive. Well, I want to debunk that today. What about good people? What about sincere people? What about them? Is their argument. Pre-saved say there's many ways to God. Pre-saved say that. But stop and look. How many religions are exclusive? You can't just come become a Hindu and say, okay, I'm going to just add a bit of this and add a bit of that. You're Hindu. You believe it. You say it. You confess it. You preach it. Huh? Buddha. Say, oh, I'll have a bit of Buddha. Had a bit of Hare Krishna, have a bit. No. The Buddha, you Buddha, you better be a Buddhist. And it's exclusive. Yeah. Same thing with Islam. You come around there and have your rosary and stuff in the Islamic faith. It'll cause maybe a loss of your head. It's not such a good idea. Even the agnostics, nobody can say that God exists. You talk about other religion, yeah. I don't want to talk about the New Age guys. They're a bunch of fruitcakes. I mean, New Age guys, I mean, they sit around, oh, I have a bit of this and I have a bit of that. Who the heck do you think you are? God Almighty says, listen, we have a legal issue here with the devil. And there is only one way that I've made legal access to me. And it's Jesus Christ. Not all roads lead to Rome, sunshine. Come on. And so we've got to be emphatic and understand that there is a way. You're not going to leave us confused and say, oh, you can run this road or you can go that road. No. Don't be a New Age fruitcake. Please do not do that. Pick a lane. I picked a lane. The enemy would love you to know, oh, man, this Christianity, yeah, it's just it's exclusive. I want to just say that Christianity is so inclusive. It's more inclusive than any other religion. And it's heck of a lot uncomplicated compared to our other religion. You got to hop, skip, and jump through all these other hoops with these. Oh, I can't. And I can't really call Christianity religion. Because when people come up to Val and say, listen, you know, I can't do this religious thing. Val says, I don't do a religious thing either. He says, but you're a pastor's wife. What the heck's wrong with you? And then you say, listen, religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity, it's God's plan to reach man. Oh, sweet. That's what it's all about. For religion, there's a whole lot of doing. You've got to do this, do that. Christianity is about receiving someone. Receiving someone. And I want you to make sure that you understand clearly about that invitation before you leave this building today. Christianity is the most inclusive. Because when you look at the scriptures, you say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that seriously inclusive? Whosoever. Are there any whosoevers in this room? Yeah? A couple of you, money, groaning, grunty. Can I just say this? Do not get hung up on that there is only one way to God. Just be thankful there is a way to God. Amen? I thought it's important that we understand that. Yes, we've always had these questions. What about those that never heard about Jesus? Or what about those that were around before Jesus came and had lived and died and rose again and became a savior and a forgiver of sins? What happened? Well, what we've got to do is filter those questions through something which is very important. It's called the attributes of God. You've got to know who God is. It'll help you answer these questions. And I hope to maybe just enlighten you about some of the attributes. Let's just talk about the attributes. The attributes of the author of this book that gives us instructions. We need to know the attributes. What's the attributes? It's a tribute. If you're going to give a tribute to somebody, you're going to talk about their character, their nature, what they like, and what they do, and what they've done. And so there is a list of characteristics that will specify a person or a people group. Well, there are attributes that go with God. And as you journey and you unpack the scriptures and you walk with those men and women of God, you'll see the attributes of God, what is being given tribute to God. And so it's important that you see that. So when you come up with questions like, oh, how can you say Jesus is the only way? And you understand the attributes on who the character and the nature of God is, then you're able to answer some of those questions and say, hey, that's his character, his nature. And so when you want to challenge God's ways, why don't you challenge it through the lens of his attributes, of who he is, his personality, his character, his nature. And I want to unpack some of that today. It's like you saying, Pastor Val is not approachable, not caring. She is not a good servant at all. She is miserable all the time. And she's a bad wife. Heck, I'll have eggs thrown at me if I have to stand on those attributes. I'll tell you what, it's not so. It's like getting religion is like this conduit of fake news that's telling you about God that's not God. I mean, he is amazing. And so I want to be able to unpack three attributes that maybe make you stand firm and say, yeah, Jesus is the way because of his attributes. And so I want to tackle the first attribute. The first attribute that is God is good. And you've heard it say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And we've got to have that branded into our understanding so that when we come against challenges and questions and stuff, we can stand and say, listen, whoa. But I want us to have a look at God is good, and he seeks to tell you that he's good. He always seeks to display that with him. And he's never going to let you leave you guessing that he's good. And I want to show you in Psalm 119, verse 68, God, you are good and do only good. The psalmist writes it. Psalmist carries on in Psalm 86, verse 5. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love to all who ask for your help. So the psalmist, you know, David, he knew that he had the heart of God. He loved and he pursued the heart of God. And so he could write these psalms and display and explain and just declare the attributes of God. And it's wonderful. Many have played this game, hide and seek. And obviously, if you've got kids, you may be still be playing hide and seek. You want to hide from them so you can just have some quiet and peace. But hide and seek. But it's like we are hiding and God is seeking us. That is his attribute. His goodness is seeking us. He's not hiding himself from us. He is seeking us. And it's his nature. Adam and Eve hid from God. But what did God? He walked up and down saying, hey, Adam, where are you? He was seeking him out. And it says here, and so that his nature is to reveal himself, show himself, and display himself as good. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show you. But it says the goodness of God draws a man to repent, to change his mind. It's his goodness. It's his goodness that I saw that he paid the price for my sins that got me. It was the hook. It was a triple hook. And it just pulled me in. His love, that just pulled me in. In Luke 19:10, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that was lost. I mean, Jesus was on a rescue mission. And so that's what we've got to understand. So when we put on the goodness of God glasses, it's amazing how you can see his goodness when you look at the scriptures. But if you don't have that as an attribute branded in your understanding, you can look at man. This is a judgmental God, and look how he nuked that, and look how what he did that. But it's amazing what love does, what love had to do so that we could have salvation today. It's amazing what he had to. So it's important that you understand that. So as we look and we have those glasses of goodness, we can look at Scripture and it has a complete. Look at his goodness of the paradise he put Adam and Eve in. Look at his goodness when he said, do not go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's goodness. That's love. And then so that they don't live like that forever and the tree and eat of the tree of life, he took them out of the garden and put them outside and protected them from that because goodness does that. How about finding Abraham in the tribe of the Chaldeans, guys that do sacrifice their kids, takes that man and creates a whole heritage and walks them through to the promised land and to the generations where our Savior would come. Isn't that goodness? Goodness did that. Jonah, man, he was told to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to them. And he said, no chance. I'm heading the other way and I'm going to jump on a ship. Well, he didn't have a whale of a time, okay? But it's God's goodness. He said, and Jonah argued. He said, God, this is the very reason why I didn't want to go and preach to Nineveh, because I knew that they would repent because your goodness has reached them. They should be nuked because they were such sinners. You see, thank God we're not God, okay? But his goodness sent Jonah there. What about sending heaven's best? How about David? I mean, getting the shepherd boy to come and take out Goliath and sort out and deliver all goodness. If you look at that, it's all through the eyes of goodness. Jesus, heaven's best, God's dear son, sent to die a most brutal death and come. Isn't that goodness? And not only that, he said, listen, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit because I know that you can't walk this walk without the Holy Spirit. And he sent Holy Spirit. That's goodness, sent that. And we sang about grace this morning. My goodness, isn't that goodness? Isn't that God's goodness that he displayed? Psalm 98:2 says, the Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. I mean, if you stop and really look, you can see God because what's around us. In Romans 1:20, it says, yes, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm telling you, I may not be able to preach to some people, but I'm telling you what, there is something around them that God will use to preach to them. Let that be some hope in your life, that if you can't get to somebody to preach the gospel, the goodness of God will find a way to preach the gospel to you somewhere. How about Cornelius? Not even an Israelite, not even a Jewish person, But what he did is he prayed and he looked after and he gave alms. He was a generous man. And God sent an angel to him and said, hey, listen, send a servant up to Joppa. Find a dude called Peter. Get him down here. And Peter came down. And what did Peter do? Peter explained to him Jesus. And Jesus touched Cornelius and his whole family. In fact, the Holy Spirit fell on the whole place. And there was holy chaos in Cornelius' house. Because God can't wait to get to you. If we would just open up our hearts and let that veil open, then he would come in like a flood because of his goodness. Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask and you will see. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. It's not he's trying to stay away from us. He's not staying away from us. If we would just find the way just to open our hearts and say, God, are you really there? Just even whisper that. I tell some of these guys that I find themselves right in the pit, I said, listen, you may not understand the whole deal with going to God. I said, but just turn your face towards him. Just turn your face towards him and watch what happens. Say, God, I don't know if you're real or not, but I want to look for you. Oh, just pray that prayer. He will come finding you because of his goodness. Another attribute. I'm only going to give you three, okay? So don't sleep on me. Stay with me. Next attribute, that God is just. That word just, he's truthful. He's fair. He's principled. He has a standard. He's righteous. That kind of just. He's that kind of God. No matter what you try and do, he cannot move off that standard of being just. He cannot move off that standard of being good. That's our God that we serve. And Psalm 7:11. God is an honest judge. God would not be a just God if he sent one to hell and that person hadn't been given a chance. Would a just God do that to anybody? He would give everybody a chance. Everybody a chance. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, and if you are searching for God with all your heart and your soul, you will find him. Now, obviously, my sister passing last Sunday had me reflect a lot of things, because it was in her home that was the last time I saw my dad before they took him to hospital that Monday. And I went back to boarding school, and then I got news Wednesday that he had passed. And literally, they had to transfer him from that town to the hospital where he passed. And my sister was transferred from that very hospital in that town to the hospital where my dad passed. There was a lot of similarities, and I was going forward with the memory and that. And I never knew if my dad gave his life to the Lord. He was a very hard man. He was tough. Grew up in a tough life, pioneering in a nation that was tough. And I never knew. He was very harsh, very hard dad. Never knew if he'd ever served the Lord or even knew about Jesus. And so it always weighed on me as soon as I came to know Jesus. And then one day, it was multiple years, 15 years later, we're part of the pastoral staff of a church in Zimbabwe. A lady came up and says, are you Rod Palmer? Did you have a dad called Sidney Ben James Palmer? I said, yeah, I did. She says, I nursed him on the night before he passed. And I led him to the Lord. So I wasn't sure if I was going to check dad out in eternity, but it looks like I am. So it's, you never know, eh? He lived his whole life, man, just tough as nails. And then God just comes in there in the nick of time. Ask the thief on the cross. Man, you're cutting it fine there, okay? Cutting it fine there, hallelujah. And God has put us in a place so we can see him, reach him, and receive him. And you will find him as a just God when we do. This just God says things like this, and he won't say these things over you unless he wants to be the just God to see it through. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That is a just God speaking those words over us. And yes, we live in a fallen world, and I tell you, we've got storms that come towards us and are challenging us. But our question can't be how much knowledge we must gain about this God. Our quest needs to have the intensity of search to know Him. It's not a volume of knowledge we want to know about God. It is to intensely know Him as this wonderful God, as a good God, as a just God. Proverbs says, "Those who search will surely find Me." And I want to make sure that if you don't be satisfied where you are, because there's so much more that we can seek out and find out about God. God is just, and He is willing to reveal Himself to be a just God. The last attribute I want to just cover on as before we close is that God is love. Not God has love. It's not something like He has in His pocket and you will just dish it out. Yeah? No, God is love. No matter which way you cut God, He bleeds love. He is love. So it's not like He has love. And I'll give it to you when I feel like it. No. His whole demeanor is one of love. And that's how He comes out. And obviously John 3:16 is the one we all know, that God so loved the world. And this translation is, "For this is how God loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Again, talking about a God who says that Jesus is the only way. He says, "My Son came on a rescue mission, and My Son is the way to come back to Me." And He says, "So everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17, it says, "God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." He was on a rescue mission. He wasn't on a judgment mission. And everywhere He went, He found the prostitute, the tax collector, found the person that was sick. He found those people and He displayed salvation to them. And He continues to do that by the Holy Spirit here. And it goes on and says, "And there is no judgment against anybody who believes in Him," Jesus. The judgment note has been torn up. But listen to the latter part. It said, "But anybody who does not believe in Him," Jesus, "has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." So there, those that have not received, there is a judgment that's been written out because of sin. And the only way to tear that judgment up is Jesus. We'll tear that judgment up and the penalty for it. C.S. Lewis says this: there are two types of persons in the world. A person who bows his knees to God and says, "Your will be done." The other person does not bow his knee and says, "Let My will be done." That's where it is. There's no in between. For we all have been given a free will. A free will gives us a choice and a chance. That's what our free will does. This God that loves us, and I want to just tell you, that's love and fairness. Love and fairness does that. You can't get any fairer than this. And this is what I've got to say to you. Everyone will arrive at the eternal destination he or she has chosen. So when you drop your earth suit, your eternity is the choice you have made. And God wants us to understand that. Love does this. Love gives you the dignity of your free will. The dignity of your free will. He will not give you a free will and then violate your free will. Will a loving God who knows you don't like or love Him make you live with Him for eternity? If you don't love God, like God, believe God, why would He torture you? Obviously, it'll be a hell in a different way, but make you live with Him for eternity if you do not like Him. Love will let you have your way. And He says, "Okay, I will separate you from Myself because it's your choice." And love does that. It's not harshness that does that. It will be harsh to make you live with a God that you don't love or like. And so it's so important that you see it. Love will let you choose a godless eternity after being given the truth. That's what God will do. God's love is agape. How do you say it, Barry? Agape? Agape. All of the above. His agape is another level, okay? Another level completely, all right? It's not our level and ability to love. It's just, no. That's why Holy Spirit had to be sent, to give us the empowerment to love like God. Because I can't love like God. It's just way different league to love like God. Unconditionally, without, you know, it's not the love that we were. Jesus came to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And he turns around and he says, God, I phileo you. I'm friendship love. And so it's that friendship love. And so it's important that you understand that when God talks about his love towards us, it's another level of love. And this word love is really, you can't justify it in English language. Not that I can justify anything in English language. I'm still trying to learn it. And everybody says, how many languages have you mastered? I'm still trying to master English at this stage. So your English is crazy. But when I say I love you and you turn around and say I love you, there's that friendship love. But if I say I love you, but I love thou. Now there's another love in there. Okay? There's the philia love and the eros love. I was saying, hold it, slow down, Barry. Don't worry, I won't go anywhere where. And so when God says he loves you, another level, another league. And many of us don't understand it. And it's so important that you understand it. And so when you understand that attributes coming towards you, it just bowls you over. It's unbelievable. It's that kind of love that says, I will send my best, my dearest, to die for you because I love you. That's crazy love. That's crazy love. I mean, wow, it's amazing love. And so I just want us to understand this as I close now, because it's important. Jesus wept twice while he was on what we see in the scriptures. The first time he wept was at Lazarus' death. Lazarus was his buddy and Mary and Martha's brother, and obviously they just wanted him raised from the dead or healed. And he wept when he came to the tomb. The other time is when he was coming into Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. And both of these times, when he wept for Mary and Martha because of their loss. Because of their loss, he wept. He wept because they'd lost their brother and wept. And then obviously he wept over Jerusalem because they were about to be totally destroyed. Jerusalem was about to be destroyed in the years ahead, and he wept for what they were about to lose. He wept for that. That was God's love and Jesus' love displayed in tears in that situation. So when I love somebody and they walk away from me and reject my love, obviously I am the one that's hurt. I'm the one that's feeling the sadness, and I'm feeling that. But I want to just say this, but when you walk away from God's love, he will weep. Why? Because of what you have just lost. We've got to understand, when we walk away from his love, that attribute of his, he weeps because there is something you have lost. And I want us to be aware of that. So when we kind of vacillate whether, yeah, Jesus is the only way, and you say, oh, I'm not sure about that. I want to tell you that Jesus is the one that we need to embrace, grab, let him pull us through with his forgiveness and his kindness and his grace, and hold on to him with dear life. And it's because God has such love and acceptance for us. Whether we know about him, know him, or we're good or not good, he loves us unconditionally, because that is how he's wired. That's his attributes. So we have before us today, church, life and death. Jesus or no Jesus. That's what we have before us today. We have that. And so we either have before us God's way or our way. No other way. It's our way or God's way. And we have a free will of choice. That's what we have before us. We have before us a God who's good. We have a God who's just and a God who's loving. We have that before us. And we have to make the decision on that. And because of this, and obviously understanding this as I've journeyed with God, I still remain fully persuaded that Jesus is the only way to the Father. I remain fully persuaded. And my heart in asking you to be fully persuaded that there is a God. I want you to be fully persuaded that this is the Word of God. I want you to be fully persuaded that Jesus is the only way. And it's very inclusive. It's the most inclusive of all religions. And so if we understand that, then we can stand and understand that we can get in the wheelbarrow. Anybody knows what that means? Get in the wheelbarrow. If a tightrope walker is going across the Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow, and you have faith in him, get in the wheelbarrow. Many of us saying, well, I'm not sure. I want you to get in the wheelbarrow. Be fully persuaded. That word fully persuaded is really, I have faith in God. I have faith in his word. I have faith in Jesus is the only one. So if we find ourselves in that place where we're vacillating, can I just endure you? Make a decision and be fully persuaded. Because God wants us not to be like that the wave that that James talks about, tossed here and there and everywhere. Let us be fully persuaded. I'm single-minded about my God, my word, the word he's written us, and his son. And I rest my case. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. If you're in a place where you are in that place, are you watching online, and you find yourself